All right. Hello, everyone out there in social media land, YouTube. God bless you on this evening. God bless those on our conference line. And welcome to Hope International Ministries, Bread of Life. This is our Bible study. And for those of you that have been joining us weekly for some time now, some years, some months, we appreciate you. And we love you at Hope International Ministries. And so we're going to open up in the word of prayer. But before we open up, just a couple announcements. There is 5 a.m. prayer. I haven't posted it on the group me yet, but we are having 5 a.m. prayer on Saturday. So it should come up tonight or tomorrow. But yes, there is 5 a.m. prayer on this Saturday. Amen. It will be on our conference line and on our YouTube channel for Saturday. Also on Sunday, we have a workshop with Mr. Williams, Rashawn Williams. He'll be talking about not only life insurance, but he does annuities, he does disability insurance. So that will begin at 12 noon. It will be at the Neptune City Community Center, 117 3rd Avenue, Neptune City, New Jersey. He'll be there at noon. We'll start at noon. I'm asking Hope International Ministries to be there at 11:30 so that we can set up for our for any of our guests that will be coming. So we hope that you will meet us there. Bring all your questions, anything you want to know about insurance, disability insurance, annuities. Bring your questions and ask. All right. He's excited. I've already talked to him, so he's excited about coming and imparting some wisdom on those things that are necessary. So we're excited about excuse me, having him come to share with us. Amen. So let's open in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for another day. Lord, it's certainly a privilege and an honor, Lord God, just to again be in your presence, just again to meet with the saints of God and to study your word, Lord. Father, we invoke your presence on this line and in this lesson and in our conversation. Father, just be who you are to us, with us and in us, Lord God. Permeate the atmosphere, oh God, on these airwaves and even in our homes, oh God. Lord God, let us open our hearts to you and to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened on tonight, Lord, that we know, oh God, your mysteries, oh God. Give us revelation knowledge for our own personal lives, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. We call on you because we need you, Lord. And Lord, you said that when we call that you'll neither leave us nor forsake us. So we thank you for the promise on tonight. Now, Father, we believe in the miracles, signs, and wonders, Lord God, even here on this social media piece, even on YouTube, even as we're podcasting, Lord, whatever the terminology is, we believe, oh God, that your word can go forth and it can heal, it can deliver, and it can save on tonight. And so, God, we thank you as we come with one accord, Lord God, as we put our hearts and our minds and turn on our spiritual ears, oh God, so that we would hear what the Spirit is saying to each of us individually, although we're collectively on this line tonight. God, we bless your name. Remember those in Haiti on tonight, Lord. We continue to lift up that country, Lord God, and the people there. There's so many of us that have friends, and some of us have relatives that are there. And so, Father, we're just asking that you intervene and that your will be done there, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We just thank you on tonight. We glorify your name. God, we just thank you that you woke us up on today, Lord God. You have us clothed, God, in our right minds, Lord. We have the ability of every limb, oh God, to move and to function. God, we just say thank you on tonight. We lack nothing in you. You fulfill every need, oh God. And so, Father, we say thank you. We open up our mouths even now, wherever we are, we just say thank you. Despite what we may be dealing with in our personal lives, Lord, our struggles, we still say thank you on tonight because you and you alone deserve all all of the glory and all of the honor. We bless you and esteem you in this place and on this line and in this study. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all the saints of God out there, you can type in amen or say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just thank God for his presence, even right now. I thank, Shabbatioka, good evening. Good evening, Grayson, Michelle. Good evening, Brother Al. Good evening, Prophetess. Good evening to all of you tonight and those who are not typing in. Good evening to you. Glory to God. I just feel the presence of the Lord. I just love him on tonight. If you love the Lord with all of your heart, there's a song that says, I do love the Lord. You don't know what he's done. That's one of my favorite songs. He's given me the victory and I love him. And if you love him on tonight, I dare you on the social media piece on that YouTube, I dare you to type in, yes, I do love him. And I dare those that are on the conference line that are muted, I dare you to say, I love you, to unmute yourself for just a hot second and says, yes, I love Jesus. Let him know that you love him and share it on the line tonight because God is love. Amen. Hallelujah. I love him with all of my heart, all my soul, all of my strength, I just love him. Amen. I just love him. And here's the catch. And he loves me just as much or more. Amen. Because his love is so pure. Amen. My love is not as pure. There's some taintedness, you know, because I'm in this side of glory. But I'm telling you, I love the Lord with all my heart, my soul, my strength. Everything about me loves him. And so I'm just so appreciative of God and who he is in my life. I know I'm saying me, but I'm sure there's some of you out there that agree with me. Amen. You're just grateful to God that he saved us. Glory to God. And that we came out of this nonsense and thinking crazy and stinking thinking and wanting to be like the world and wanted to hang out, wanted to do. And one day we came to our senses and we just said, Lord, hey, have your way. I surrender. You know, I surrender my life. And here's the thing. He didn't even have to bully me into it. I just totally just said, God, I surrender. Here's my heart. And even now, Prophetess Flo, even now, you know, I just tell the Lord, you know, again, in my prayer time, Lord, just come back in any kind of way. If I've, you know, kind of pushed you off of the throne of my heart because I got distracted or I got attracted to other things and you kind of fell in the background. Come on back and become Lord and be Lord of my heart and of my life. Amen. Glory to God. Yes, yes, I see them. They're saying, yes, I do love. Yes. How can you not love him? How can you not love God? How can you not love Christ the Savior? Amen. And so with that being said, I just feel the Lord in my heart, even right now. We have been discussing, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We have been discussing, I think, well, you know, listen, this Siri popped on my screen. I didn't touch it. I'm not touching anything, but the Siri on my tabletop, it came up, right? I'm not touching it. And it says, I think you're pretty great too. And I think that's from God. I need them. Listen, as a matter of fact, I'm going to put, do y'all see it? They can see it over there. Maybe on, let me put it up on, you guys should be able to see it on YouTube. And you'll see it at the top of the screen there in gray. I didn't hit anything. I'm not touching anything. I'm telling you, but Siri came up and says, I think you're pretty great too. God is real. Y'all listen, he is real. Glory to God. So I received that. And not just for me, but for all of us that told him we love him on tonight. He sent us a personal message over this airway. Says, I think you're pretty great too. Amen. So receive that in Jesus' name on tonight. I'm going to leave it up there. It might pop out. It, you know, I don't know what it's going to do, but let it do what it does. So tonight, if you look on the on our YouTube, hallelujah. So we say amen. Amen. They're receiving it. Glory to God. The message on tonight or the lesson on tonight is the place of importance. The place of importance. And I think this is why I'm kind of overflowing in my heart for this lesson on tonight. I ask that you really open up your heart. Some people could take it. They could take it. Well, you could take it good or bad, but it's all good. And it's the way that we're to look at it. I want you to look at it not out of the flesh, but to look at it in terms of the spirit. Amen. Because we are spiritual beings. Amen. And we have to come out of the natural and see what the Lord is saying in the spirit. Amen. And so tonight's lesson, the place of importance. And so I say that as we go, hallelujah. He is so wonderful. Thank you. Yes, he is. When God touches our lives, prophetess, what happens usually is that Satan immediately comes to steal that touch away. And so we know in Mark 4, if we go to Mark 4, well, let's go to Mark 4 because let's go over to Mark 4. So take your Bibles out. Mark 4 and 15. Let's go there, please. I'm going to try to bring it up, alongside. Let's see if it comes up. Yeah. All right. So let's go to Mark, 4 and 15. I'm in Mark 15. So I want to go to Mark 4. Come on, get your word, get your Bible, underline, circle, come back to it and meditate on it. And verse 15. And it says, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear Satan comes, what? Immediately. He doesn't even wait. You know, he comes immediately. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Immediately he comes and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Okay. And it says here, those that receive the word, this is, these are the ones by the wayside. Amen. Where the word is sown. And so when God touches our lives, Satan immediately comes to try to steal that touch. He doesn't want us to keep whatever it was that the Lord gave us, whether it be a revelation or a blessing or our healing. The enemy does this by trying to get us to quit. Listen, to quit glorifying God as God. And see what we opened up with today. We opened up glorifying him and blessing him. Amen. And telling him how much we love him and adore him. And so if you just think about it, if you stop glorifying God as God and glorifying what he has done in your life, then what happens, you'll lose the manifestation of that revelation. You lose the manifestation of the blessing or the healing or whatever it is that you've received for God. Right? It'll seem like when we stop glorifying God for those things that he's done in our lives, it'll seem like our joy and our peace begin to diminish in our lives. But if we don't, glory to God, if we don't quit glorifying him, I don't know how anybody can stop glorifying him, but it happens. But if you don't quit glorifying God and what he's done in your life, right? You'll never lose it, because the reality is that this series is talking about staying full of God. So this lesson on tonight is just another piece on how we stay full of God. In other words, we're not up today, down tomorrow. I'm on fire next week, and you see me the week after that, and now I'm in a dark place. Amen. And so we want to stay full of him. And so here's one of the ways, is glorifying him, continuously glorifying God for what he's done in our lives. Amen. So then here's the question. So then, what does it mean? Glory to God. Glory to God. What does this mean to glorify God? We use a lot of terms, Minister Sharon. We bounce terms, and it's nice sometimes to look up those terms in your Strong's Concordance, or, you know, just the Webster's Dictionary, whatever you can use. Amen. But for the Strong Concordance, the Greek word used in Romans 1 and 21 for glorifying. Let's go to Romans 1, 21. I'm going to go to the word. Let's go over there. Romans Where am I going at? Going back up here. Romans, here we go. Romans 1 and 21. Okay, y'all can see it over there. It's on the screen, but get your Bible as well. It says, because although they knew God, listen here, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We preached from that the other day. Amen. And so the Greek word in Romans 1 and 21, when you see glorify, we just read, it means to render or esteem glorious. Amen. But let's break it down even further than that. Let's look at render and esteem in just the regular dictionary. So I looked that up. All right. And so when we look at the word esteem, it means to value, to prize, or reverence. Amen. So from the word glorified, we pulled out esteem because glorified means in the Strong's Concordance, it means to render or esteem glorious. So esteem means to value, to prize, or to reverence. Amen. So when God does something in our lives, we place a value upon it. But what happens, like we just said in Mark 4 and 15, Satan immediately comes against that value and competes for it. Amen. So he begins to compete. He tries to steal from you the worth and value that you placed on the things of God. And so think about tonight. Let's just think about, we're teaching tonight on the place of importance. Amen. We're thinking about that, right? And we're talking about how the enemy comes in and how he tries to steal those things that we place value on from God, whether it be revelation, whether it be joy, whether it be healing, whether it be his love, right? And so some people on tonight will receive it. They'll receive the word. And then there'll be others that maybe will not receive it. But one way or another, you are placing a value on what you're learning. Whether you receive it or not, you're placing a value, whether it's worth, you know, worth receiving or not. And so let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Let's go over there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Let's go there. Hallelujah. I'm going fast. Amen. So did I say first or second? I wanted first. I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians. Amen. Chapter 2 and verse 13. So it's 1 Thessalonians. And let's go to verse 13. Verse 13 in the New King James Version says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcome it not as the word of what? Men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who what? Who believe. Amen. And that's 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13. So some people might say, you know, tonight or whenever, you know, you're sitting under the preach word, that this is God speaking to me. You receive it, you know, just like this thing that popped up that said, I think you're pretty great too. I received that from God. Amen. I don't know how it popped up there, so I'm receiving it. And so some will say this is God speaking, and others might say that, you know, it's just Pastor Mary. It's just Mary. You know, some people really go low like that. Oh, it's just Mary speaking. So they don't receive it. Amen. And so then what'll happen, then you'll place a value on these truths. and they'll affect your life or not accordingly. Amen. Stay with me. So you place a value, prophetess, on everything that comes into your life, everything and every person, everything that enters your life, you place a value on it. And so the devil, what he does, he comes immediately to attack the value that you've placed on God, his word, and the manifestation of what he's done and is doing in our lives. Amen. So it's a choice. Let's say the Lord speaks to you and reveals, let's say, his unconditional love. Let's just say, you know, Florence, I'm picking on her right now. You know, you've just been meditating and God has just been ministering to your heart and he's revealing how much he loves you and his unconditional love for you. And at that point, you begin to experience and feel that love, you know, and, you know, God loves me, Almighty God loves me. You know, you receive the peace, the joy and other benefits that revelation and experience is bringing to you, right? And then the next day you go to work. I always use work because they can, I don't know, for something about the work at my church. But you go to church the next day and the devil will agitate someone at work to come over and start dumping on you. All right. And they may start telling you stuff, you know, that you don't never do anything right. Or they'll start criticizing what you're doing and start saying that you're not performing and you're not doing what's wrong for you. OK, see, what is happening is that the enemy is competing for the value that you had placed on God's love. Amen. And how much he loved you. So you got this revelation and you're feeling good about it, right? You're grooving. And the next day, the enemy uses someone, right, to compete against what God already has said. All right. Another scenario. You can go to church, right? You can go to service and you can be blessed by the service, the worship, the praise, the word of God. Right. And I'm sure some of y'all can identify with this one. And then you go home. Right. You go home. Now, you just had a wonderful experience fellowshipping with the saints of God. And now you go home. And then someone, you know, gets on your nerve or jumps all over your case. So what is happening? Satan here is trying to steal the joy, the blessedness that you just received. And here's what God says about you. And here's the opposite. They'll try to take that thing, to steal it. And so it's like a seesaw, right? All of a sudden it becomes like a seesaw. And I'm going to put this up. Y'all wait. I'm going to ship it over here. Here's the seesaw. Y'all can see it on the screen. So it's like a seesaw shifting according to the value. Remember, we want to know how to stay full. We want to know how to stay full of God. And so here we are now. We're like this seesaw. Mm-hmm. Shifting according to the value you place on one side. When one side is up, you notice on the seesaw, right? The other side is down and vice versa. So if you value what God says, then you have to what? Devalue what the others are saying or what Satan is saying or how he's using someone to try to tear down the value that you just placed on what you received from God. So it's like that seesaw, right? Now, remember, you can't have both sides up at the same time. So God loves you. Not only does he love you, he likes you. He's pleased with you and you're full of joy, unspeakable, full of joy. That's what Florence should be embracing. And so the value of God's word and what he's saying should be up, and we should be devaluing of what Satan and others are saying. That side should be down. Amen. That's the way it should look. That's the way it should look. And so what happens, you place a value on everything that comes against you. No one else can, saints of God. Nobody else can dictate the worth you place on something in your life. It is your choice. I think I have it here. It says you place a value on everything that comes against you. It's on the screen. No one else can. Nobody can tell you how valuable your marriage is except you, right? You place a value on that. You place a value on your children. You place a value on your relationship with God. No one else can dictate the worth that you place on those things. It's your choice. Amen? All right. So that's up on there. So get this in the spirit. I need y'all to receive this in the spirit. Your spouse, child, or boss may have something, may have said something that has upset you, right? Let's say it really made you mad. You got really perturbed. Let me put my face up here so y'all can see me. Since I can't see y'all. Glory to God. Amen. So let's just say your spouse or your boss or your child, and they said something that upset you, that got you totally teed off. And let's say you're at a place that you really are ticked off about whatever they said. Now, if they said those words to me, right? Whatever they said to you to tick you off, it would have a different effect, right? It would have a different effect for me. Why? Because I don't value their opinion the way you do. I don't value their opinion. So they could say to you, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and you might, you know, get ticked off and mad. And they may come to me and say the same A, B, C, D, E, F, G, but it doesn't really bother me because I don't value their opinion the way you do. But you're supposed to value, let me say this, you're supposed to value what your spouse may say, what your child or even your boss opinion, you should have some value to it. You should. You should value them more than I do. But in a relative sense, this is what the Lord says. Let's go to Luke. We're not going to be able to go to both. But write down Luke 14 and 26 and Matthew 10 and 37. Read that in your meditation time. But I'm going to read it together. Luke 14, 26 and Matthew 10 and 37. It says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of what? Of me. Here's the piece now, okay? Your love for even your immediate family ought to be pale in comparison to your love for Jesus. In other words, Jesus should be on the throne of your heart. He is the love of your life, your absolute love. So the contrast between the worth and value you place on God, glory to God, thank you, Jesus, and others should be as different as love and hate. Actually, it should, their opinion versus God should be nothing. Now, of course, you know, we should value certain people who are closer to us more than I would. But in comparison, saints of God, please get this. But in comparison to our God, Father, thank you, and what he's done in our lives, we ought to place such a value and worth upon him. Hear me and hear me good, that nothing and no one ever competes. That nothing and no one ever competes. Now, I say that, but this is not necessarily the way most Christians think or operate. Amen? And let me go back to my seesaw. Do you glorify the things of God? Think about this. Just ponder this wherever you are right now. Think of this. Do you glorify, esteem, value the things of God more than the things of this world? Just think about it. Is the difference so small that I really couldn't recognize it if that were the case? It ought to be obvious. Go shana masi koreba di okoro shana madieke. Nanda nana makoro shana madike re rianda. Koro shana madioka nana dieke. Hasama di okoro bosata. Halana maseke re rioga. It ought to be obvious, people of God, compared to how you esteem God. Listen to me, please. I always put this is a key piece. This is a key piece. Compared to how you esteem God, you should disesteem, decrease the worth and value on everything and everyone else. Nothing compares. We sing the song, I think Prophet should be good. Nothing compares to him. You see the seesaw, y'all like my seesaw. Some of us, we value Satan in others' words. We put value, more value on them. You see this, that part is high, and you disesteem the value of God's word. We start receiving it. We start listening to it. Amen. All right. Y'all with me out there. You gotta stay with me. So let me read that key one more time. I asked the question, do you glorify the things of God more than the things of this world? That's a question. Is the difference so small that I would have to use a magnifying glass to see which you truly value the most? Because what I'm saying on tonight, it ought to be obvious compared to how you esteem God, you should disesteem, decrease the worth and value on everything and everyone else. Money, job, prestige, family. All right. Y'all still there? Come on, our little prophetess. She said, amen, amen. All right. We've actually become, I'm slow tonight, but I feel the presence of God. I feel his presence. Amen. We're actually people of God. We've actually become codependent on everyone and everything else except God. Think of this scenario. Some of you may have maybe walked through this scenario. If your mate were to leave you, your husband, your wife, right? Someone that you care about deeply. If they were to leave you, would you fall apart? Would you just can't live anymore? Would you? Because some people, they're devastated. Now, I agree that it is God's best for your marriage to be healed and made whole. That's of course. Of course, the Lord wants to move in that area of that, you know, situation. But if your spouse doesn't cooperate, you need to make a commitment and say, God, you are so much greater than my what? Than my circumstances, than my problem, than my wife, my husband, my children, whatever it is. He's on the throne. So if things don't work out and your spouse leaves, Listen, you don't trip up, flip up. You know, you might get a little, you know, teary-eyed, of course, but you don't let it overtake you and devastate you. You keep praising God. You keep loving and you keep serving. And you do it with all of your heart. Even if everyone forsakes you. You hear what I'm saying? In scripture, Moses's wife left him for a year or so. Zipporah. She took off when they were on their way down to Egypt. But what did Moses? Did Moses pack up and say, God, listen, I can't handle this. This is too much for me. I got to go. Did he break down? Did he stop the ministry and the call or whatever God had purpose for him to do, even though his wife walked away? No, Moses just kept moving forward with the Lord. The plagues were released. The children of Israel were delivered and the Red Sea was still parted. All of this happened while he was separated from his wife. Some people think, well, you know, brother, you know, sister, whatever, I believe I'm supposed to love and value God, but I can't praise him while going through a divorce. Well, I can't praise him while going through this infirmity. I can't praise him when my job is acting funny and I don't know if I'm going to have it. Yes, you can. It's what you place value on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, you can. Y'all type that in there. Yes, you can. Y'all know Obama said that. Yes, we can. Well, yes, we can. Because with God, all things, that's my thing. All things are possible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I'm a witness. Listen, I walked through it. Yes, you can. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I have to read this little story here because it was interesting. And I need y'all to really listen to it now, again, through your spirit. But I got to read this story. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to read it. This gentleman talks about a partner of his that would allow him to speak to his employees every year. So he'd go to wherever this job site is and he would go to encourage them. Amen. And he would share with them the goodness of God. And he did it for many years. And he said, while he was there in the break room for a minute, a lady came over to him and she was an alcoholic. And he said she had tried, you know, to kill herself. And then she had slit her wrist and she wound up in the hospital. She was going through the third or fourth divorce and she was very poor. So everything in her life was depressing and discouraging. So she told him that, you know, I'm not a Christian, but she says, I know that prayer works. And so she wanted prayer for the marriage. But then she broke down and she started to cry and she told him that it was a third or fourth marriage and her husband had filed for a divorce. But if she got divorced again, she didn't know if she could make it. So she wanted the man of God to pray for her and for her marriage. Amen. So the man of God said, I stopped her and asked, now let me make sure that I heard you right. He said, you want me to pray for your marriage and for you? But you're not a Christian. And you know that you're not a Christian. And she said, yeah. So he said, well, if you die right now, would you go straight, you know, to hell because you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. She said, yeah, that's correct. She agreed. And he said, and you want me to pray for your marriage and not your salvation? And the lady said, yes. And so the man of God said, lady, do you realize that after you burn in hell for 1,000 years, you won't really care whether you were married or not. Who cares about your marriage? You need to be born again. So the woman responded, you know what? You're right. So he prayed for her and she was born again. Now here's the key, because somebody already tripping. Prophets fully tripping. They're like, listen, Pastor Mary, you didn't went to this. So listen, I said, listen in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Like in the beginning, I said, some people didn't shut you down. You know, like, yeah, relationship with God, everything. Absolutely. All right. So here's the key. We're not saying that God isn't concerned about marriages or your marriage. But here's the key. Remember, I told you, you place value. What you must look at, or you must see, or you must look at it in terms of its relative worth, compared to eternity, listen to me, marriage is nothing. You're not saved. You don't know Jesus, right? But you want me to pray for your marriage is what you place value on. This is the lesson. You have more value on this marriage and this man rather than your soul being saved. Amen? So it's all about the value that you place on things. So it was used as an example. So don't y'all, you know, don't be tripping. Amen? Some people, yeah, I already know. Some people place so much value, and you have something you want to say? Anybody want to say something? Huh? Yeah, okay. You're not tripping, are you? Glory to God. You get what the scenario is saying. Amen. Where are you placing your value? If compared to eternity and burning in hell, you're worried about this temporary, you know, marriage. When you get to heaven, ain't even gonna be no marriage there. You know what I'm saying? You need your soul. So it's just a comparison on what we value, what we put value on, because it's our choice how we value things. All right. So some people place a lot of value on their marriage. Some people place a lot of value on their careers and other people's acceptance, that it competes for the worth that they place on the things of God. You hear what I'm saying, right? So, if that's you, I want you to make a decision to say today and just say to the Lord, Lord, there is nothing that could even remotely tempt me to ever decrease the value I place on you. All right. Cause we got that scenario. They got the value of Satan and others' words. And then that's lifted up. And then you have God's word decreased or disesteemed on the screen. Now let me go back. Cause that's the way I want it. The value of God's word. And I want that, and disesteem the value of Satan and others' words. All right. Okay. So tonight, Lord, there's nothing that could even remotely tempt me to ever decrease the value I place on you. Are you willing to say that? Are you really to say it from your heart? Not just repeat it, but from my heart. Listen, I can never decrease the value I place on you and what you've done in my life. And then after you say that, you need to start magnifying and glorifying God and disesteeming everything else that you play. And you know, that thing is real, that's real slick. And it is almost, I want to put it like an idol. You know, it's very cunning. Our children can become our idol. We could put a lot of value And then when things are not going right, then we're up and down. You see what I'm saying? The only way you, glory to God, the only way that you can stay full of God is keeping your mind stayed on Him, glorifying Him, thanking Him, praising Him. Amen. And meditating on His word. And walking in faith and according to it. That's what keeps you full. And it keeps you from becoming depleted. It keeps you from being in and out, up and down. I'm here today, not tomorrow. I feel like it today. I don't feel like it tomorrow. Y'all get what I'm saying. Now, let's go to Hebrews 12, 12. Go to Hebrews 12, please. Hebrews 12. Are y'all out there? Come on. I see prophetess typing, and I hear the other prophetess. Where are my other people? Where y'all at? You listening? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily, what? This says in the New King James, ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set, what? Before us. Verse 2, looking unto who? I ain't looking to what you got to say. I'm not looking, y'all, excuse me, I'm just going to tip over for a minute. I ain't looking about what your opinion is, what you think about me or what I'm doing or blah, 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 blah. Amen. Looking unto who? Mm-hmm. Jesus. Glory to God. That's a shout right there. Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set, listen to, it says, who for the what? The joy that was set before him did what? Endured the cross? How you gonna get joy with enduring the cross? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Notice, people of God, precious saints of God, notice the phrase despising the shame. Y'all see that, right? Is that in your Bible? Mm-hmm. Despising mm-hmm. the shame. Glory to God. The Greek word rendered despising means to disesteem. He disesteemed. But what did he disesteem? Come on, y'all tell me in those two verses. Probably in verse 2. What did Jesus disesteem? Glory to God. Come on, y'all tell me. You are most valuable in my life. Yes, yes, yes. Tear down every. Thank you, Lord. I'm in agreement with you on that, prophetess. What did he disesteem? Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all here? Glory to God. I see you. Praise God. Amen. They're here. What did he disesteem? Come on, saints of God. Ain't nobody talking to me. There's a lapse over here on the YouTube, so they might not be, they may not be hearing this question. Come on. Prophetess Flo said, not tonight. I don't hear her. What did Jesus disesteem?
Repeat the question.
All right. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I'll read it again, starting with 1. Let me go up. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the what? What did he despise?
Shame.
The shame. Okay, so what does that mean? He was despising the shame. What does that mean? He's out on the, think about the whole scenario. We're getting ready to go into resurrection week in a few weeks, Sunday and that holy week. What are we talking about despising the shame? Woo, Shabbat. Thank you, prophetess. She came up with it. What, come on, what happened to Jesus? Come on, y'all tell me. Y'all know the story.
He took our sin.
He took our sin.
On his own body on the tree.
Yeah, and was it pretty?
He became sin.
Was it pretty what he endured?
No.
What did he endure?
He had his beard tilled, plucked out. He went through a whole lot, and they whipped him with a cat of nine tails, and his back, his skin on his back looked like ribbons.
Mm-hmm.
He went through a lot.
How about his clothes? What happened with that?
He was naked.
He was naked. He was ripped of any honor. He was all of the shame, the guilt, the sin, the appearance. Amen. He disesteemed it. God, come on. He disesteemed. And disesteem means it's the opposite, the exact opposite of esteeming. Glorifying, magnifying, valuing, and prizing. Jesus disesteemed the shame associated with what he had to go through. What did he place value on? Okay, now listen, I'm going to flip over here. Okay, let's just say if God called on some of us to suffer the crucifixion, just think about it. He called you. He said, prophetess. He said, Brother Al, Sister Michelle, Minister Mott, Prophetess Flo, I'm calling y'all for y'all to go and suffer, and I want y'all, you know, to be crucified. Now, the reality is, we probably, even myself, we probably would have immediately looked at the shame, because we do that now, the cost, the pain. We would have valued our own lives, our own peace and security in such a way that we wouldn't have been able to value what God called us to do. Now, that's extreme. But what about the small things? I can't do that. I can't speak. What do you mean you can't speak? You can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. I can't do that, Pastor, because I don't really. Yes, you can. God can give you. God is wisdom. You have the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God in you. Do you see what I'm saying? What would people say if I did liturgical dance and I'm 65 years old? What would people say if I put on the little dress and I'm a little thicker? What do you care? What do you place value on? It's your choice. Do you want to glorify God? I don't care what they say. As long as I look good to God and modest, I don't care. Because I don't place that. I don't allow that thing to disrupt my value, my love, my appreciation, my esteem of my Lord and my Savior. Am I making sense on tonight? I don't know if I'm making sense. Come on, am I making sense?
Amen.
Ooh, Shabbatioka. Amen. So Jesus disesteemed the shame associated with his crucifixion. He intentionally, listen to me, this is a key. He intentionally minimized and shrunk the cost. He didn't let, now let me say, in the garden, I was getting there, right? In the garden, he started, but then he recognized the value. And that value is us. Come on now. God, Shama, he loved us so much. That he placed value. That's why you don't let anyone devalue you. Don't even you devalue yourself. Glory to God. Because when you think about what Christ has done, you were that valuable to him that despite all that he would have to go through, the shame, the suffering, the humiliation, all of that, he valued us enough that I'll do it. And I put aside, you know, my royalty, you know, my priestlyhood. I'll humble myself. What are you placing value on? Jesus had already disesteemed his own life. Let's go to Philippians 2. Let's go to Philippians 2. Come on. Y'all getting this? Y'all getting this? Come on.
Good.
All right. Praise Jesus.
Good.
Praise Jesus. Let's go to Philippians 2. I pray that you'll never be the same again once you gotten this word in your heart for real. Amen. And in your spirit, you'll think about it. Philippians 2, 5 and 8. Philippians 2, verse 5 and 8. All right. 5 through 8. I'm sorry. 5 through 8. Glory to God. And it reads as follows. Again, I'm in the New King James. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 6. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Remember, he King of Kings, Lord of Lords, right? And coming in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He viewed everything else as worthless compared to what God had said and done. Go with me to Paul. Y'all know Paul. Going over to Philippians 3. Let's go to 3. Verse 7 and 8. Paul said, I count it all done. Poop. Come on, 7 and 8. It says, but what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for Christ. 8. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as what? Rubbish, that I may gain who? Oh, Shamari Okamaseke. Christ. He valued his relationship with Christ more than anything. All of his, come on, y'all know the story. Some of y'all sees it. All of his accomplishments, all everything. It was nothing. It's where do we place our value? He didn't care. In Philippians, he's writing scripture and leaving us words of encouragement and joy while he's locked up in prison. Right? You place a value on everything in your life. Everything in your life, you've placed a value upon it. You are the ones who esteem what's important to you. Paul said it. I place a high value on knowing Christ and disesteem, everything else as if it were dung. Man, we could drop the mic right there, right? Most of us probably can't say that, which is the reason why we cannot do what Paul did. It's also why we don't have the same joy. Glory to God, because where he placed his value, he could have placed his value on being in a dungeon and locked up. Some of us would have been, oh, I'm locked up. Y'all send me help. Lord, you know, but it's where your value is. This is what have you up and down, up and down. The only consistency is found in Christ. Glory to God. Paul wrote the book of Philippians while he was in prison. It is his happiest book. What? You tell me he was in a dank, stinking prison cell, cold, underfed, but this is his happiest book. He uses the words joy, rejoice, and rejoicing a total of 17 times in just 4 chapters, people of God. Paul was praising God and rejoicing from the jail. Where do you place your value? If you were thrown in prison right now, would you be singing praises to the Lord at midnight? Some of us may, and then some of us, I don't know. We place too much value and worth on our lives, freedom, and possessions. We put too much value on things that are unimportant. Your life is important compared to others, but compared to God, it's not. Mm-mm. We need to place a relative worth, yes, on our lives. As long as you're the center of your universe, you're always going to be upset when someone rubs you the wrong way. And I said that the other way. So who you placing your, if you're placing your value on what people say, I gave the example, and I'm going to end with that. I was telling them Sunday. I remember saying it Sunday. The example that this probably came from this lesson, where the gentleman was out fishing with his friend, and the one friend says to the other friend, you know, you start telling him about what one of the guys was saying about them, you know, how he criticized them and talked about them. And the one guy was upset about it, and he was telling the friend. And I guess he wanted the friend to get upset. And the friend, you know, he just didn't even shoot the breeze. And so the guy says, well, why are you not upset? You know, he's always going around saying negative stuff about you, putting negative stuff out there. He's always tearing down your character, criticizing, blah, 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 right? He's saying that to the friend. Why aren't you getting upset like I'm upset? And so the friend simply tells him, you know why? Because I don't place value in what he says. So therefore, I'm consistent. I don't care what he says. It's what you've... What does God say about you? So whatever you deem most important, wherever you place your value, that's what it's going to keep you... In Philippians 1 and 21 and 23 and 24, you don't have to turn there because I'm almost finished. I'm almost finished. Paul had a different value system. He actually struggled with whether to stay here or to go to heaven. Boy, that's interesting, right? Yeah. He says in Philippians 1, 21, 23, and 24, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Jesus, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, Paul says in Philippians 1, 21, 23, 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul didn't count his life here as anything. He's the one who placed this value on it. Where are you placing your value? What's most important? Who's on the throne of your life? Who's on the throne of your heart? Whose opinion do you value more? Whose words do you, the enemy, people, or God? People of God, as I close, and then I'm going to turn it over to Prophetess Flo to close us out. You are the one who places value on everything that comes into your life. You are. Amen. And so the reason you begin to lose the revelation, the reason you begin to lose the blessing, because we said it before, God is always blessing. Are you in that receiving mode? You turn on the TV, the show has been playing for about an hour or two. You just happen to tune in, but it was always on. God is always blessing. He's always blessing. He's always healing. He has not changed. So the reason we begin to lose the revelation, the blessings, and the benefits of what God has said and done is because we place value on so many other things instead of what? Instead of Him. Those other things that are important to you are sapping your time. They are sapping your energy and they are sapping your attention. And because of this, due to this, what the Lord has done in your life has diminished or will diminish over time. It's not because God changed. He hasn't changed. I just said it. His attitude toward us. And He hasn't quit giving. It's because we have let something else occupy that place of importance in our lives. Your life, my life, our life was meant for God and God alone. bless you on tonight. Remember this teaching, the place of importance. Where do you place, or how much value do you place on other things in comparison to God? He should be number one. Numero uno. Nothing compares to him. Amen. God bless you. I pray that you would. Well, I know you were blessed because the Lord gave us this lesson. That's all I'm going to. If he gives it to us, we need it. Amen. God bless you. Let it simmer in your heart and in your spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if we could get that, that's just one piece of staying full of God. Amen.
Amen.
I turn it over to you, prophetess.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for this lesson on tonight. We thank you for Pastor Lord and all that she has poured out, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, that we can examine our own selves, Lord God, concerning this lesson, Lord Jesus. And we come to you, hallelujah, the author and finisher of our faith, Father. So, Lord, we ask that you would continue ministering to us, Lord God, hallelujah, in these lessons, Lord Jesus, and what you are doing on the inside of each and every one of us. And we say thank you.
Thank you.
Lord, we love you on tonight. We adore you, and we do appreciate you for who you are.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God Amen. Bless you. We love you. Join us. God night to you two ministers. And we'll see you on Saturday. Some of you at 5 a.m. prayer this Saturday. Glory to God. God bless.